Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question or even just a problem, it doesn't mean you have to legal question. It's something I can help you with, give us a call. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. Been practicing law in Florida since 1981. And glad to be here. We've helped over 40,000 people. We have over 40,000 client files where different areas of law have come into play. So I've done the show since 1984, longest running continual program in Florida. And every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, we come in on multiple stations all around Florida, answer legal questions. If you listen for the whole hour, you'll hear people calling from all over the place. We're broadcasting today from Jacksonville. WBOB 600 The Answer, and also on 101.FM in Jacksonville. Our home station is in Tampa. That's 570, 910, 860, 1380. Multiple stations there in Tampa carry the program. Also 90.3 FM in Haines City, about a 50-mile circle around Haines City, Orlando, Lakeland, so forth. 910 also comes through the Lakeland up to the Haines City area. We have a community station that carries the program in Crystal River and in Sun City Center. So we're all over the state of Florida with Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. And if you have a legal question, no matter where you are, you have a toll-free number to dial and ask me, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, can be about family law, real estate law, personal injury law. If you have a legal question, give us a call. The whole show is about answering legal questions and helping people sort through their legal situations. And glad to be here, 877-943-9673. Our first call is from Sky in St. Petersburg. Hello, Sky.
Good morning.
What can we do for you today?
Well, I'm calling because I have a problem with an apartment complex.
Okay.
And they keep having plumbing problems. So I'm trying to find out what kind of rights do I have in that situation.
So you rent?
Yes.
And have you given them written notice of the problems?
No, I've just called in and made complaints.
Well, start writing your complaints.
Okay.
You do have the right to, in some occasions where the problem is not fixed and it's a serious problem, you have the right to terminate the lease without penalties.
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, I would write them a letter, maybe a certified letter, that you've had multiple phone calls to their office to fix a problem. It remains unfixed.
Okay.
And you want the problem, you know, the problem must be fixed because, and you give the reason, or you are going to visit an attorney to terminate the lease.
Okay.
And you might ask them if they would voluntarily terminate the lease.
Mm-hmm.
See what they say, but get anything in writing.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Sky, good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. And let's go to Joe in Newport Richey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, and you?
Okay, working today. I don't know if you can ask this answer this question. This is it's about a friend, and it's a bankruptcy question. Can you answer that?
Well, I've done some bankruptcy, and I also have a bankruptcy attorney, so if I don't know the exact answer, I'll give you a resource in our firm can help you.
This could be a tough one. It'll be short. Let's theoretically say this person that I know has, say, a certain currency, and it's worth, say, $5,000. And let's say this person went to the lawyer and paid the $2,000 for the bankruptcy and didn't go file yet. Now, they're supposed to claim everything, everything that is an asset, which is currency is an asset. And if all of a sudden they file, and that currency is worth $5,000 at the time they file and it's over with, and then all of a sudden, a few months later, the currency revalues and it's worth a lot more, is that considered fraud, or the person had no idea that it was going to revalue? That's a tough one, isn't it?
No, I think if that should happen, I think the bankruptcy attorney would probably tell them they would have to do an adjustment to the inventory.
Okay, they wouldn't take the whole thing and say it's fraud because
not if you adjust the inventory, fairly soon after the revaluation.
I see.
And there's a period of time even after bankruptcy's over. I forget exactly what it is, but there's a period of time where if you receive money within 6 months or a year or whatever the time period is, that you still might be liable. So I would definitely have her tell her that she should report that to her attorney and let her attorney deal with it properly.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question of any type, you can call 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. I have calls all the time from people. There's a Joe on my screen, but that's the last caller, right? Okay. All right, so I have calls all the time from people who come into my office, and they want to make some change to their documents. And then as we're talking, I might ask, well, are you sure you can find your original documents? And they will tell me something like, well, these are the original documents. But, these documents they're showing me are clearly marked copies. So they're not the originals. That you can easily tell there are copies from looking at them. So then the client gets a little flustered sometimes, and then they want to, I can amend this trust. But if you don't have the original trust, that could be a problem, so we might have to do a restatement. So I would do something differently if you can't find your original, as opposed to if you have your originals and I can just amend them. And then sometimes I've had people come in that have done amendments to their trust, and they threw away their original trust, thinking the amendment was the whole complete new trust. So here's where I'm going with this. I think you should check and make sure, particularly after a storm too, make sure your papers haven't been damaged. Make sure you can get your hands on your originals. And it's good for you to do a self-review a little bit. I write my clients a letter every 3 years or so and tell them they should come in, and power attorneys and living wills and healthcare surrogates and things of that nature should be updated every 3 years or so to keep current dates on them. Banks and medical facilities and financial people sometimes do not honor power of attorneys, old previous power of attorneys. So check your papers. After a storm, tell us what happens. Things get discarded, things get flooded, things get wet, papers get destroyed. Should really update your papers and make sure you have originals. And you really should go to meet your attorney every 3 years or so and just kind of get a feel for review your papers. A lot of people do trust, for example, and sometimes they don't re-register their assets properly to the trust. It's good to touch base with your attorney every 3 or 4 years at least. And if you need to make changes to your documents, then, go see the attorney and get it done. Why put it off? if you keep putting it off, you know, sometimes it never gets done. Phone lines to call Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Jay in Bradenton.
Good morning.
Hey, Jay.
Hi. Got a question about a tax certificate. A family member has not paid their real estate taxes for quite a few years, and, of course, people now can buy their certificate. And sure enough, that happened back in 2014. It has not been redeemed for the deed yet, but it is eligible to.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, can my family member that still technically owns this property, do they have any recourse at this point? I mean, can they go and pay the tax for that year and clear that certificate and still remain owner of the house? Or is that new person who actually purchased that certificate, if they beat them to the courthouse, can they go ahead and redeem it for the deed?
Yeah, I think the person that bought the tax certificate can go redeem it.
Mm-hmm.
So if your family member or friend who is delinquent can get there first, I think they can take care of it.
All right. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. I do have a real estate attorney that deals with these matters somewhat that maybe could clarify and confirm my answer, but that's my thinking. I don't really deal in that area too much, but I think that's my thinking. That would be my answer if I had to guess, which I was pretty sure.
Very good. Yes, and I can call him. That's Luncharski, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay, perfect. Right. I will give them a call and find out.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's go to Vince in Tampa.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, Vince, and you?
Fine, thanks. We went to see you about a week ago right after the hurricane, and I have a question, not on our trust, but on a homestead exemption.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we've already filed years ago, and we get the first $25,000 exemption as is, and then if the value of our property is over $75,000, we get another $25,000. But I just heard today on Catherine's show that if a couple is over 65, there may be an additional exemption there. Do we have to automatically notify the appraiser's office that we're over 65, or should that already be in our office, in our record with them?
And no, would, I think you should
automatically.
I think you should go down there and claim it more or less by letting them know, or at least calling them and asking them for the form you have to sign.
All right. All right. Well, that was my basic question, and thanks for helping us out last week. Everything is going
all right. Well.
Well,
great. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. And if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we're here to help as many people as we possibly can in this hour. We help people by answering your question directly, and we help people by listening to answers and applying it maybe to their own circumstances, and maybe even information about areas you never thought were a problem or not. And glad to help you. One of the questions that came in this morning already made me think about this question that people ask me all the time. So you create a living trust. We transfer your homestead to the living trust with a quitclaim deed. And then the question always is, do you lose any of those exemptions you're entitled to? Well, the answer is no. If the trust is done properly and the deed is done properly, there's language in both the trust and the deed that preserve the homestead protection. So there's the save the cap tax rate increase stays the same inside a trust. The step up in cost basis stays the same inside a trust. The homestead exemption stays the same inside a trust. All if the trust is drafted properly with special language about the homestead and the deed itself has special language about the homestead. So this is one of the reasons why you don't try to do this yourself with some form you get on the computer or even some legal service that offers legal services for a fee for, you know, documents you basically do yourself. I've seen many people make mistakes when they try to do it themselves or get forms or legal systems off of the computer concerning the homestead in Florida. So you definitely want to make sure that it's all done properly. And again, people should have documents reviewed about every 3 or 4 years. Power attorneys' living will should be updated every 3 or 4 years. And if you would like more information about estate planning, I'm going to offer, let me get out the phone numbers first. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. We're here to help you if you have a legal question or concern. Maybe something happened to you or your home or your property during the storm, and you have some legal question about that. Most common question I get in those areas after a big storm is about trees falling on properties. That even somewhat happened, no real damage, but that somewhat happened to me during the storm, actually, in my home. So if you have some legal question about anything, family law, real estate, personal injury, traffic situations, give us a call, 877-943-9673. Most weeks I offer my free estate planning poster sheet, and we get lots and lots of requests for this. It's a large size poster sheet that tells you all about the different options you have in estate planning. So your different options, you have a choice on what you do. And many people choose wills. That's the most common form of estate planning. Well, with a will, you know, you're actually choosing some probate of some asset you have inside the your estate. Another option is to do a living trust. And with a living trust, you can avoid probate. And so what I have, I've developed this poster sheet that tells you all of your options and the pluses and minuses of each option. If you would like to receive this, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our office with a toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. You can email, that's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at joe@attypip.com. joe@attypip.com. Those P's are like Paul, not T like Tom, P-A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. And I'll be glad to mail you our poster sheet. Also, on one side of the sheet, it has all of our office numbers, office locations. And that makes me think, this coming Friday, I will be in the Crystal River area Friday afternoon speaking at a church there in the Crystal River area. If you would like to attend that, please contact me and I will give you the information about that speaking engagement and you can attend. It's open to the public. One of our stations carry the programs in the Crystal River area, and if you're listening on that station and like to come meet with me or... Actually, I'd be glad to meet with clients in that area that day as well. So if you would like, if you're in the Crystal River area, would like to either meet with me or attend the presentation, the best way to do that is call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, or send me a text at 727-667-3967. Let's go to Gary in Reddington. Hey, Gary.
Yes, good morning.
I assume that's Reddington Beach.
North Reddington Beach, right.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question. I have a timeshare. I am an owner of a Marriott timeshare down in St. Thomas, which was affected by Hurricane Irma. I had a reservation for early November, which they have canceled. I did not cancel it. Marriott canceled it. Upon inquiry into that, I sought options But Marriott is telling me that because I did not buy their private resort insurance, that I am out of luck, no options, no tentative date of transfer of the week ownership. So I'm out of my maintenance fee for the year, and I get no vacation. Do I have any, is there any legal ground to stand on that?
Gary, I think it probably depends upon the fine print in the contract, and I'm going to guess that the fine print in the contract says that because it was an act of nature, so to speak, the hurricane, that they're not at fault, and
right,
that you might be out of luck. I mean, I'm going to guess that's the answer, but, you know, I'm not reading the fine print in your contract.
Sure. I have sought the fine print also. Can't seem to pin them down, but the fact that they canceled it, and then I got an email saying, upon your request for cancellation, well, yeah, that just seemed like a legal, easy way out, because I did not cancel it. Marriott did. And my
you might be able to write them a letter and, you know, and stir up enough anxiety for them to give you something, you know, like a vacation week or something.
Yeah, I wrote, after several phone calls where I exhausted all my swear vocabulary, I got a hold of an executive in Salt Lake City with the Marriott Vacation Club, and I did write to him. I haven't heard back, seeking some kind of relief, but I was just curious if they, or if you had any glimmer of hope of getting some kind of relief from that.
Well, what I'd probably do is to, have you done anything in writing yet?
I sent a letter to the Marriott executive of the Vacation Club, requesting this, noting the situation,
mm-hmm,
and requesting some kind of relief, either a alternative date at any resort that they have. You know, I'll
did
take
you stress?
Any.
Did you stress in the letter that they canceled it and not you?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's the key point, I think, in your argument, is that they canceled it. Was the facility damaged?
Yes. They claimed, and we got messages to that effect, that the resort was closed through and including our time frame and would reopen at a further date. But as for rescheduling it, I'm out of luck because they will not reschedule it in St. Thomas, which is fine, but I would take anywhere, Myrtle Beach, Bronson, Timbuktu, but they're unwilling to give me any choice.
Yeah. Well, I think the bottom line is if you've done everything, you and or your attorney do everything they possibly can, and you go to court, it's going to be based on what the fine print says.
Absolutely.
So you might want to send them a letter asking them, where is the fine print that I can read that said you have the right to do this?
Right.
And see what they say.
I will continue to pursue it because that really irks me that no options were submitted or given me a chance.
Yeah.
To,
well, you might consider converting to the point system.
Well, you know, I my wife and I did buy into the Marriott Destination Point System, which gives you further latitude in terms of length of stay and so forth. But once again, if I did, the echo is, if I did not purchase their travel insurance for the resort, has nothing to do with lost baggage or airfare. I have bought that type of insurance in the past, for cruises or whatever, but I have never purchased the resort. I figured the resort, a building, would be there.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't move. It doesn't go away. But their echo is, if you did not purchase this, you're out of luck. So
yeah.
I'm up against the wall, but I'll continue to investigate it, and I thank you for your comments.
All right, Susan. Gary, yeah. Thanks, Gary. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Let's go to Susan in Tampa.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, Susan.
Yeah. We have a neighbor that has palm trees that, not palm trees, bamboo trees that hang 25 feet. They're huge. They're like probably 40 feet in the air, and they hang about 25 feet over the fence, 25 feet into our property. And every day, we have a pool, and every day we are out there, you know, with the blower and collecting leaves and what have you. And, of course, with the storm, we had well over 20 bags of leaves because you know, that was the way the wind was blowing the sides. And I'm just wondering, we've offered everything. We would pay to, we told them, we pay to have their trees removed because she claimed she had paid a lot of money. We're like, well, we'll pay to have them removed. We'll pay for new plants to put in their place. We've offered everything. And they don't care. They like their bamboo trees. And
well, you have the right to trim the, you have the right to trim up your property line to remove them from overhanging on your property.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing we could do, except that it's still, they're still on their side, big, blowing, and, you know, they clog our pool drains.
Yeah, well, you don't have the right to make them remove the tree. You do have the right to trim up your property line. And and that's going to maybe make their tree uglier for you and them, but you do have that right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's it. All right.
Oh, okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So what's worse than that is if your next-door neighbor has ficus trees that have never been trimmed. You know, ficus trees, usually you trim those and kind of make a fence out of them. But if you have a neighbor who never trims their ficus trees and they grow to 50 or 60 feet, then they snap, the top is heavy, and they snap off. And then they become flying missiles that damage property and so forth. And, you know, so it could be worse than a bamboo tree. All right, let's go to James in Tampa.
Hello.
Hey, James.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have an issue pertaining to family and law.
Family law?
I have been paying child support because it was determined that I was the biological father through DNA. However, if my name is not on the original birth certificate, isn't that the legal father?
Well, was the mother married at the time?
No.
So you were married to her at the time, but it was someone else's child. Or it was your child.
No.
You weren't married.
No.
Okay, no, your name doesn't have to be on the birth certificate to establish child support. If that's the question, because you're not on the birth certificate, doesn't mean you have to pay child support. The answer would be no. You have to pay child support if it's been determined that you're the father.
Yes, but my original question, what role does at the time of birth, whoever name was, which is the legal father, what role does he have?
All right, so someone else's name is on the child's birth certificate as the father?
Yes, sir. I think so. My daughter does not carry my last name. It was later on.
Okay, was the last name the name of the mother?
No.
Okay, it was the name of another guy.
Evidently.
That she was not married to.
Right. Right.
All right, and then did she, the mother, make you do a DNA test to the court or something, or try to do that? And you volunteered to do that?
I volunteered because it was a thing of this all you got this week? So I said, well, let me go and voluntarily start paying through child support.
Okay, so the mother was not married at the time?
No, she was not.
All right, and it's determined you, I would think, and now you want to fight the child support?
Well, I just a matter of because actually my daughter is 18 now. Just a matter of something that just lingers in your mind.
Yeah. Well, James, she's 18, so your child support's over with, right?
Yes, sir.
So, yes, sir. Really, you don't want to sue to get your child support back, do you? Not that you could. All right, so my answer is I think you as the father did the right thing by taking the test and paying child support, and you should be congratulated for that. And you don't have any rights to get anything back at this point, so be happy and move on to the next phase of your life.
Yes, sir. But like I say, ignorance is.
No, hey, James, look, think of it this way. Be proud of your daughter. Be proud that you had a daughter. Be proud that you helped support your daughter and move on. That would be my advice.
All right, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. Thank you. Let's go to Booney in Clearwater.
Hello.
Your name Booney?
Bonnie.
Okay.
Right.
your name on my caller board is Boonie. So I said I've never heard of anybody called Booney, but Bonnie makes more sense to me. So that's good.
All right. So Joe, I had a skylight replaced recently, and the charge is $1,350, and I have not paid them because I asked for a film, to...
All right, Bonnie, you still there or do we lose you? Bonnie, you there? All right, Bonnie, you pay $1,300. You signed a contract for a skylight for $1,300, and you're not going to pay them anything because they didn't put a film on it. You could get someone else to put a film on it for a nominal amount of money, I would think. So I'm sorry I lost you. If you can hear me, just call back. And sorry about that, Bonnie. So if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If I can help you in any way, all you have to do is to dial that toll-free number, 877-943-9673. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, it's a double-sided large sheet. One side of it has five articles on estate planning. It has your different options and the consequences. And one of the options, of course, is a will. The most popular option is a will, actually. But you need to know that if you have a will, there's going to be some probate costs. It's going to take a long time. It's going to be a public record. Doesn't do anything for incapacity, only death. And you have another option that's explained on the estate planning poster sheet. It also explains what happens if you do nothing as an estate plan. You just keep putting it off, pass away without a will or any estate planning documents. Explains the consequences of that, explains the consequence or benefit of a living trust. On the other side of the sheet has all of our office locations and phone numbers and contacts and so forth, and information about the radio shows. And if you would like this sheet, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529. You can email a request at joe@attypip.com. You can text 727 667-3967. If you text, I need your name and address to mail it to you. It's a big sheet, so you don't want to try to download it on the internet or anything. It's much better if I can just mail it to you, and we pay the postage. So if you want it, by text 727-667-3967. Phone lines are open. If you want to call the show, you have 15 minutes or so left. 877-943-9673. Let's go back to Bonnie calling from Clearwater.
Hi. I don't know at what point my phone dropped the call, but...
All right, you bought a skylight. They didn't put the film on it. So my question, did you make a down payment?
I did not. I did not.
And the work is completed except for the film?
The skylight has been installed. Then they put the film on, and it's a shoddy job. And they didn't say, admit it, but they didn't say it's perfect either. So now they're telling me that they are roofing people, not film people, not tinting people, and that they just want to take the film off the existing, what they put on, and they will just let me finish the job that way.
And are they going to discount their fee?
No, in fact, I suggested a resolution, and I would be quite pleased with that because it's just like framing it out to make a picture and hiding those ragged edges. And for some, they want to charge $200 more for the materials because they said they're already losing money on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wondered where I am legally, Joe.
I think your best solution would be to get a quote from somebody who specializes in putting film on windows or skylights, and get a quote of them to do that, and then subtract that from the $1,350 or whatever the price was, and write them a check for their services minus the cost of it's going to cost you to put the film on.
Okay. All right.
And get somebody else to finish the job for you.
All right. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Let's go to Paul and Valrico.
Hi, Joe.
Hey,
nice
Paul.
To speak with you.
Nice speaking to you.
I'm 58 years old. I don't anticipate dying anytime soon. I don't have a lot of assets. Truthfully, I have $500 worth of stocks and maybe $400 in the bank. I'm a paycheck to paycheck person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a will, you know, and when I heard you talking about get your, which I have received from you, the will and the discussion of everything. I don't have a will. If I was to die tomorrow without a will, and I'm not married, I do have two children, I've instructed the gal that I live with and my son that if I die, just go to my bank and take out everything. Well, do they have to notify, in other words, do they have to notify the stock company that I have my shares with? I've given them passwords and usernames to everything that I do. So if I die, they can sell the stocks the next day, take the money out of the bank the next day. Is that illegal for them to do?
All right, so their names are not on the accounts?
Oh, my girlfriend's name is on the account because I'm a truck driver now, and if she needs to pay the rent, I let her take the money.
Okay, so it's
children's names are not.
All right, so it's
nobody's name is on the stock purchasing except mine.
Well, okay, so you have $900 in your estate. Is that what you're telling me?
Probably about $900 as of today, yes.
All right, and part of that is a joint account with your girlfriend.
Yes, sir.
All right, so your girlfriend would have access to the money anyway as an owner of the account. It's a joint account. It sounds like a joint account with Rider Survivorship. The stock account.
Yes, sir, you're right.
All right, so the stock account would be in the name of a deceased person, so that would be much harder to get to. And if they tried to just take it online that would be improper and could lead to some trouble later on. I'm not sure if anybody would complain about it, but that would be an improper way to take the money.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, however,
if I gave them the password, how could that be a problem for them?
Because they would be taking money from a deceased person's account.
I see.
And then,
I just don't think my net worth is worth them going through a year. It's certainly not worth a.
Well, no. Let me. Okay, hold on. Let's assume the amount of money in your name that they can't legally get is $500, and let's assume that your funeral bill is worth more than $500. They can go to the court themselves with a simplified procedure to get reimbursed for your funeral expenses and not have to hire an attorney. If it's there's an amount of money, I think it's $6,000. If your assets are under $6,000 and your funeral bill is more than the amount of money that you're seeking, you can take a paid funeral bill. Let's say your funeral bill is $1,000. They can take a paid funeral bill and your death certificate to the courthouse. And the courthouse has a simplified proceeding, and you don't need an attorney to get reimbursed for the cost of the funeral. So there's a way for them legally to get to the money without hiring an attorney because of the size of the estate.
I see. All right. Thank you for your help.
All right. Thanks for calling, Paul. Let's go to Mary. Hey, Mary.
Hello. Good morning. I have a unique situation that I don't know what to do with, so this is my first time calling.
Well, great. Where are you calling? What city are you calling from?
The Villages, Florida.
The Villages, okay. We have an office. Our attorney, Patrick Smith, runs the offices in the Villages area, so if we can ever help you, we'd be glad to.
Thank you very much. I've just written that down. I had a property manager manage my place here in the Villages, because we were in Tennessee at the time, mm-hmm. and my husband was undergoing cancer treatment center up there. And they rented my place. They take their portion, which is fine. It was fair. That's what I signed in the contract. However, they've stated that they've written me a check, and I even have the check numbers, and that money has never gone into my account. I had a lawyer in Tennessee that's just a friend write them a letter. However, he has no really jurisdiction in it, and I have to get somebody here in town.
How much was the check for?
Well, there's about five of them that equal about $14,000. Not to mention all of the stuff they charge me for, that like a new TV in my house that's not here. They changed my irrigation system. It's not the irrigation system I had when they took the house over. I didn't even know it until I went out to reset it after the hurricane. And because, you know, we all had the hurricane here. And I realized it's not the same irrigation system. I just took my house back over from them in May.
All right, so they're saying they have $14,000 worth of checks they've written to you, and you're saying you never received them and they never hit any of your accounts.
I've showed them proof I never received them. I sent them a copy of, from the bank, a paper stating all of my deposits from the time I started the contract from them in 2013 till now. 2015, I'm sorry, till now. All of my deposits in that account. Mm-hmm. And they can see the deposits they did make, which are few, and the bigger ones they did not pay. And it's going to Wells Fargo. They supposedly notified their company, Wells Fargo, to send me the check.
All right.
It's all cut and dry. I have check numbers.
Well, yeah, there you go.
How do you get the money out of these people?
Well,
know they owe it to me.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't get it. I've told them I didn't get it. It was through a lawyer.
All right, Mary, I got it.
sorry.
That's okay. No, that's okay. I know.
I get a lot of medical bills with my husband. So,
all right, well, here's my answer. If you've done everything you can do and without a good result, you need an attorney to be your advocate. You had one out of state that, you know, doesn't have much power because they can't go to court and everything. Call Patrick Smith there in the Villages. We have an attorney relationship with an attorney that handles those types of matters and would file a lawsuit in your behalf to get the money.
Now, what kind of a lawyer do I need? I will contact Patrick Smith, but what kind of lawyer? I was looking for lawyers, and there's so many. Most of them are personal injury and all that. I don't even know what kind of lawyer I would need to collect this money. That's what I need to collect.
No, I'm telling Mr. Smith has an attorney relationship with someone there, and they can take care of you.
All right. I'll contact him.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for being on the radio. And
all right.
It was a pleasure.
All right, thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. And if you have a legal question, phone lines are open. We only have about 5 more minutes, though, so we have time for at least one more call if you want to be our last caller. 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open right now. If you'd like a free estate planning poster sheet, so this will be the last time on the show that I'll give it for this show anyway, I'll be glad to mail it to you. It's a handy guide, even if you do have estate planning, it's a handy guide to learn, or if you're getting ready for an update, or maybe looking to do something for the first time, or looking maybe to look something new, this is an estate planning large poster sheet all about estate planning. I'd love to mail it to you. And by the way, for those that you want to come to the seminar in Crystal River at the local church there, just call our toll-free number. I'd be glad to meet with you there also if you want to meet with me in Crystal River. So the number is 1-800. The office number is 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, 3 ways to get it. You can call our toll-free office number again, 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at joe@attypip.com. joe@attypip.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. Before the show ends, I want to tell you, following my show, a few minutes after 9, the Real Estate Radio with Howard and Angela. And that's if you're listening in the Jacksonville area. And I can tell you that if I buy property in Jacksonville, I'm going to use Angela and Howard. I really enjoy listening to their show. They're very knowledgeable, very helpful. They were helping me look at a condo here. So I'm still kind of looking as to what I want to do, but I would greatly value their advice and information, and I think they do a great radio show, very helpful to anybody looking to buy real estate, and I would suggest you stay tuned if you're in Jacksonville right here on this Jacksonville station, WBOB 600 or 101.5 FM. So let's go to Mark in Valrico.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Mark.
All right, my question's in regards to LLC. My daughter is looking into flipping homes,
mm-hmm.
and she's formed a Nevada LLC,
mm-hmm.
but she's used my home address as her legal address for her LLC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned of, am I being exposed to any legal problems?
No, because you're not the owner of the LLC. So I don't see a problem for you there.
None whatsoever. Okay, yeah, I was upset because she never mentioned it. She just went out on her own and did it. I'm proud of her looking to become an entrepreneur, but I was concerned.
Is she going to buy Florida properties?
Is she going to buy
Florida properties?
Yes.
Well, I don't know what advantage she saw in doing a Nevada LLC. You can convert that to a Florida LLC if she wanted to. I'd be glad to talk to her about that if she wants to.
All right, and is there a better legal purpose in having a Florida as opposed to a Nevada?
No, but if you're going to be doing business all in Florida, I would think it'd be better to be a Florida. Then you could have a registered agent that could be, if any papers are served or anything, they could come to the registered agent, which could be an attorney.
Understood.
All right, John, I'm out of time, so I'm sorry. You can call my office number. I'll be glad to talk to you. 1-800-226-3529. 3529. This is Attorney Joe Pippin. Hey, you be safe and have a great, great weekend. So long.